the more I read the Bible, the more I realize the Lord's in control of everything. You see that? I mean, he's put the blessings on you, or he puts the curses on you. In other words, he's running the show. You don't have to be afraid of nobody, but God, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you in one way and flee before you in seven ways. Did I have to even shoot anybody? No, I didn't even have to raise a gun. Who did it for me? The Lord. He's the one going to take care of my battles. The Lord shall command the blessing. Oh, what's he going to do? He's going to command. Can you imagine this? You say, I command these riches and health to overtake you, AA. Now, can you handle that? You can handle it. I can handle that too. Do you know anybody can't handle that? If you're obeying God, he's going to command all these blessings to come up on you and overtake you. He is in control. The Lord shall cause your enemy. And then verse 8 says, the Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand unto. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God is going to give you. Who gives us everything? The Lord. He's in total control. How much of this earth belongs to him? All of it. He made it all and the fullness thereof. And he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he'll give them cattle to whoever he wants to, won't he, A.A.? That's right. I can just see him now and say, my son, A.A., he's been a good boy down there. He's going to stop all his lying and everything. He's going to be super good to everybody and walk in love. Now, I'm going to command that his cows, every one of them, have at least a calf. Not a single one of them is going to die.
Take care of his
town
that he's given me to take care of for you.
Amen. And he does, doesn't he, A.A.?
Right.
He blesses you, and don't we love it when the king blesses us like that?
Yeah,
we love it. You know, and then, of course, especially with cattle right now, because cattle, we got a lot less cows than we had last year, and the market is up.
The numbers are down, prices are high.
So if you got cows now, hey, you're in good shape. I wouldn't even mind having about 10,000 head to sell right now at the prices of them. But I'm not in the cattle business, but God is. And when he takes a man like this that is in the cattle business, he'll send him those blessed cattle because he promised it right there in the Word. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you. Verse 9 and 10, let's see what it says. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto you. If, there's another one of those ifs. If Thurman, shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. If Joseph, if AA, is that what he's saying?
Absolutely.
He's putting on us as an individual. And keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they shall be afraid of you. You ever thought about people being afraid of you? But God says if we obey him, everybody will be afraid of us. Now, everybody, every nation on the earth used to be afraid of the United States of America. I remember that. But are anybody afraid of us anymore? No. Why? Who has turned their back on God? We have. We have turned our back on God. The church is what's going to change everything. The church. But the church has got to get back in right touch with God. We got to put him first. And when we do, then we're going to see great things happen. 11 and 12. Let's see what he says here. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. I mean, you have no idea in this time how many people come to me since I'm a pastor of a church and need money to make their house payment or their apartment payment. Are their utility payment. It's getting more and more all the time. Cheryl told me the other day, she said, honey, you can't take care of the whole world. And she's right. I cannot. Because God made our little ministry plenteous. Why has he made our ministry plenteous? We're about his business. And can I use some of that money to help other people? Yes, I can. But I can't help them all. Only thing I can do to help them all is tell them, get in touch with God and do what he says, walk in obedience to his word, And in fact, let me tell you something. The other day, I walked up to a car, and there was a lady sitting there, and she knew me, and she was sitting in her car, and I walked up kind of to just say hi, and I looked, and I said, "What's that pair of crutches doing in the back seat? Whose are those?" She said, "They're mine." I said, "You walking on crutches?" She said, "Yes." I said, "What sin did you commit?" I said, "Did you get angry at your husband?" She hung her head and said, "I did." I said, "And what happened?" She said, "Right after I fussed at him, I fell off the porch and fractured my ankle." I said, "Would you repent and tell God how sorry you are for not submitting to your husband 100%? She said, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I know I was wrong when I got angry with my husband." I said, "Now reach over." I said, "Put your hand over where I can reach you." I reached over at the window. The right window was down. I reached over and put both hands where I could touch her. I said, "Father, you told me to lay hands on the sick and you will heal them." I said, "Thank you, Lord, for being merciful and forgiving her and healing her." I said, "It's done." Walked off and left her. Now, when's the last time you had somebody ask you, "What sin did you commit?" Have you had anybody ask you that question? When you're sick? Well, hey, you know, I could have done anything I wanted to do. I could have said, "Oh, I'm so sorry for you." I could have even prayed for her. But if she hadn't confessed that sin, she could have walked on them crutches for 3 or 4 weeks. The next day, I run into that woman in town, and she was walking.
Amen.
I said, "Hey, I don't see no crutches." She said, "I got up this morning. I didn't need them." She said, "I didn't have no pain in my foot or nothing. I could walk perfect." Is God a good God?
Amen.
I mean, He's so wonderful. Now then, somebody said, "Well, let me pray for you," and I hadn't told her to repent. Then I saw her 3 weeks later, and I said, "How are you doing?" "Well, I'm getting better. Pain's still there, but I'm getting better." Now then, which way you want it? Do you want to be sick long term, or you want to get over it quickly? I'll tell you what, I don't even want to go there, do you? I don't even want to get sick. I don't want to fuss at somebody. I do not want to fall off the porch and sprain my ankle, do you? So now if we walk in love, God says He will take care of us. Look what He says here. "The Lord shall open unto you His good treasure, the heavens to give rain unto your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow." Oh, that's the United States, isn't it? Are we loaning money to people, Alan? Do we have any money? Are we broke? Yeah, are we borrowing millions and trillions of dollars that we can't pay back? What does that tell us about these promises of God? We must not be living under the blessings, right? We're cursed. We are borrowing money right and left, and it's amazing. 13 and 14. "And the Lord shall make thee the head." And who's going to do this? It's amazing how many times when we talk about the good or the bad, it says, "And the Lord is going to do this." I've come to realize God's in control. You know, he's the boss in the AA.
Right.
He is the boss. "And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if you shall hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God." There's that "if" again. "Which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left hand to go after other gods to serve them." Now then, like I said a while ago, with these men that go after the gods of money and power, and sometimes they get 40 or 50 years old, and then all of a sudden, like that 46-year-old boy the other day, just dropped dead with a heart attack. He didn't had no warning. Perfect health. 46 years old. Bam! Well, if he'd been 80 years old, I wouldn't have thought nothing about it. Because, you know, 70 or 80 years old, you know, for the average man in church, that's a pretty good lifespan. Now, can you live longer than that? Sure you can. If you obey God and do what He says, and your confession is right, you can live. In fact, I had a pastor write me a letter the other day and tell me that I need to be careful about what I'm speaking in John 8 and John 11. He said, "I know two other men that started preaching that years ago and said both of them died." Well, I know that too. So in John 8, 51. Let's go to that, Dave, and let me show it to you. In John 8:51, this is kind of a, I mean, when I talk about healing, this is absolutely awesome. But look what it says in John 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keeps my sayings, he shall, what? Now, wait a minute. Somebody said that couldn't be possible. If you don't believe that, then that's a sin. So you're already living in sin. If you don't believe Jesus' words. Now, he did say, under the covenant we've been talking about, under the blessings, if we obey him, he promised us a lot of things, didn't he? A lot. That was the old covenant, which you and me are not under today. We're under the new covenant. And under the new covenant, the New Testament, he said if we obey him, how long will it have to go before we die? He said we won't ever die. Now then, let's go on down to the next one in John 11. Take me to John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Somebody says, no, I don't believe that. Yeah, well, we're going to die here, but then we're going to live with him forever. No, he's talking about physical death. Now then, first of all, nobody believes that. So if you don't believe it, you sure ain't going to make it. You know, somebody says, well, do you know anybody that's made it? Nope. You think you'll make it? Probably not. I know that's a wrong confession. But I might make it to 120 or 150, you know, and I may not make it that far. I don't know. But I do know one thing. What is going to kill me? Sin. Sin brings forth what? Death. Sin brings forth death. Now, the less sin you commit, the longer you're going to live. If sin brings forth death, is that right, brother? If sin brings forth death, the less you sin, the longer you're going to live, right? See? Isn't that amazing? So if a guy, like there was a young man standing right here, 54 years old, last week. He said, my daddy died at 54. So he said, I've been confessing all those years, well, my dad died at 54. I guess when I get 54, I'll die. And when he hit 54, all kinds of things started happening to his body. He had had surgery. He had had all kinds of problems. And then somebody headed him out here. I told him, I said, son, you got to repent of all those sins of that negative confession.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.